Oh, they're dogs.
Why did you say that?
Because they're dogs.
It doesn't tell you that in the commercial.
Okay, but they are dogs.
I know, but it's so weird because I'm sorry. It's like, hey,
am
Fifi,
I ruining? Am
yeah,
I
idiot. Hi, everyone. My name is David Dedrick, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon.
I'm Ian Boothby. Normally, you leave a space there for me to say my name. Sorry.
That's okay.
You're breaking routine this late into the game.
I did a little backwards today, because normally I would say, welcome to Dragon Sneaky. My name is Andrew Harris.
What?
Yeah, that's my name backwards. Is pronounced Andrew Harris.
What?
Spell out my name.
Okay, David.
Yeah.
Divad.
Yeah, Andrew, that's right. And the next part, Dedrick, backwards. Harris, exactly. All right, everyone, let's move on with the show. Thank you for listening to Sneaky Dragon this week.
What? What's happening?
What's going on? You
Dave,
seem a bit confused.
Listen. Okay, listen. Okay. I don't want to start our whole summer ritual of it's way too hot in here. I'm not gonna do that. Like Hell Kitty Studios has no air conditioning in the summer.
Yes, that's true.
No heat in the winter.
No heat in the winter.
Yeah.
That's right. And you dress in a barrel.
That's right.
That's
old timey dress in a barrel style.
Oh,
but we just finished our final episode of our final official episode. We got two bonus episodes of our Completely Beatles broadcast.
We have two epilogues.
That's right. We got two epilogues. We got a couple of epiladies. We're gonna shave our legs. And let me just say that our final, actually, album one, covering Abbey Road, is a long one.
It's very long.
It's, you know how long it is, Dave? We're still doing it.
We're still talking about it right now. You're true. That's
yeah,
right.
A week from now, we'll still be doing it.
It's a show, there's people who like to listen to Completely Beatles on their drive to work.
They will never get there.
That's right. This is a show they can listen to for a week driving to work.
Yeah, you can drive on a Mobius strip.
You can drive to the moon. If you work on the moon, this is the perfect show for you.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, if you want to listen to that, that's going to drop next Wednesday. Or listen to it whenever you want in the future. If this is a future listener, it's available on the iTunes. But anyway, why I'm bringing that up is...
Why are you bringing that
I'm
up?
I'm a little bit tired from that.
You are, really?
Well, how many... We talked for hours and hours and hours, and now it's like...
It was about the Beatles, so it's very energizing.
Sure.
Because it's so exciting.
You gain strength from the Beatles. They weaken me.
Is that right?
That is our difference.
They're your kryptonite.
Yeah. Also, I had... It's been a busy week.
Prove it.
Sure. Okay. I had a dinner this week where I got to meet my stepdad.
Okay, that's hard work.
Now, this is the third time. I have met him two times before.
Okay.
But at family gatherings real
this
quick.
This time you're introduced to him.
You know, I actually had some focus and whatnot. Now, my mom got surprise married a little while ago.
Yes.
And
she emailed you out of the blue.
And said, I'm married.
And said, I'm married.
And I wrote her back and went, were you pregnant?
Yeah.
And
did she say, OMG, I'm married? Yeah. BT dubs, I'm married.
There you basically, yeah. So you find out that way. You know, again, it's a very futuristic situation where, like, I never as a young man imagined I'd find out that my mom got married by email because I had no idea what email was. So it's very futuristic.
You couldn't imagine that at all.
You know what? In the future, you'll find out.
She'd write it on a brick and throw it through your window.
Yeah.
As it turns out, she did that.
I came very close to finding out about it. Like, if she knew how to work Facebook, I would have found out because her relationship status would have changed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it would have been like, it's now married. It's like, yeah, it's... So anyway,
said married, relationship to children, it's complicated.
So I went and I picked the place where we're going to eat.
Was it a safe place?
Yes.
Very neutral?
Yes. It was very parent friendly.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Was it McDonald's?
No. Oh, no. They go there every morning.
Oh, they go there every morning.
Every morning they go and get an egg.
They have money to burn.
Yeah. You have money to save. You know why you want to spend all your money, Mr. Money? You're going to go have a nice egg McMuffin that'll fill you up. You read the free paper there. What's your problem? What are you made of, dollars? So,
You went to White Spot.
Boom. There it is. White Spot.
That's a family. People who don't live in the lower mainland
of British Columbia
do not know White Spot. It's kind of the whatever in your town that your parents took you to when you were a kid, and now you nostalgically love it, and it's still good. But if someone from somewhere else comes and eats at it with you after you've been raving about how great it is, they're kind of like, nah, it was okay.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, you got to develop a taste for it while you're young.
You have to have the, because they, like, the great thing about it is you get a pirate pack when you're a kid. So they bring out your dinner in a
it's
cardboard.
It's served by a Somali pirate. Takes your food
and leaves.
That's it. And you learn a lesson.
Well, you have to pay him a ransom for
it.
Yeah,
it's kind of a Captain Phillips situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Afterwards, you break down. You kind of cry a little bit.
That's
you know what? You get an award later. Did it win an award?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You get your dinner in a cardboard pirate ship. You get your burger. You get a gold coin. You get your ice cream and your drink or whatever, all served to you in a pirate ship with a straw as the mast with the sail on it.
It's pretty good. You get a little gold coin.
It's pretty nice, yeah. A chocolate coin, and yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's all right.
So as you grow up out of that, you just continue to love that restaurant. And I don't know if you ate there when you were a kid in your car.
No, because I'm from another place.
Okay. So when I was a kid, our parents would, not all of them have this, but there were many drive-ins. So you would drive in, you turn on your lights, the car hop would come out, take your order, and then they would return with your plates. And what was amazing was that they carried everything on a long tray. Like if you went to A&W, which we had an A&W in Langley, and we'd go there, they would just kind of prop the tray on either side on the window. So you'd keep your window partway down, like 3 inches up or whatever, and then they would prop the tray on it.
Right.
At White Spot, what they do is they'd have a long tray that would extend across the entire car from window to window, and then you basically have like a tray in front of you could eat off of.
It's pretty amazing.
It was a narrow tray. It was like 5 inches. It's not like a huge thing, but they would carry all your plates and stuff on the tray out to your car.
Pretty amazing.
And then do that amazing turnaround and then through the window on, you know, right in front of you. It was amazing. The talent. They were on roller skates, I'll be fair. But
yeah, I think they still have one of those. I think one of those.
There's a few. There's more than one.
I go there.
But anyway, so you've gone there with your parents. You're sitting in the car.
Right. I'm not going to say
they're bringing out the tray.
I'm not going to say too much. No, we're in the restaurant proper. I'm not going to say too much about what happened because privacy is privacy. But let's just say I was trying to like actually talk to him, like just trying to pry words out. And basically the only thing he wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And was my weight.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of talk about how you know they'd both lost a lot of weight and how they lost their weight and you got a calorie counter on your phone and hey, and you're still using that calorie counter on your phone, and at one point it's just like, okay, I'm deflecting, you know, this deflecting.
Are you joking?
Deflecting.
Are you making jokes?
Lightly, but I'm moving to other topics.
Sure.
To finally, like, I'm like having he gets a fish and
chips.
That's
my defensive thing as well.
Yeah, he gets a fish and chips. My mom gets a salad. I get a burger and I get no fries because I'm feeling a little bit like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with this nonsense.
Yeah, because they're going to say fries.
Yeah, they're going to say something. Right. So he looks over at me at, you know, it's like, you know, it's one of those silences. And then you're like, someone's got to break this silence. And he takes the opportunity. I'm like, oh good. Because I've made a couple of attempts to the point where like, I'm not going to make more attempts. Like it's silly now for me to say more stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, he goes, so you eat a lot of hamburgers, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those. So like, I love them. I love eating them all the time. Eating all the hamburgers. They call me a real wimpy around the house. That's what they call me. There you go. So, it was that. No, I mean, you know, I eat a hamburger here because it's a White Spot and they make hamburgers. So I eat a hamburger here.
Sure.
And they went, yeah, I suppose they do make good hamburgers here. Yeah. And I want to go, I picked this restaurant for you. Don't turn this around on me.
This is not my hamburger I'm eating.
Yeah, sir, if it was up to me, I would be at a sushi place right now. We're eating this crap because it's what you folks like.
Yeah.
It's you people generation food. Stop it.
I just want to point out we just ate there together.
Yeah, it was fine. Actually, I quite enjoyed it.
But
it's also, let's be honest. Yeah.
I ate the same thing as him. I was playing that role. We were kind of play acting a better relationship
your
father-in-law.
You know, I got a lot of people in my life that have different eating restrictions. This person can't eat gluten. This person is a pescatarian. This person can't have this. And this person doesn't like that. And it doesn't have to be too spicy and we don't want to have the bar. So what's it all come down
to? I'm the worst.
We're all at the White Spot. So let's all just shut up and have a nice meal and we're going to be fine. It's one of those things.
Well, you know, I have a very continental taste, so.
Yeah, you're very incontinent.
I like the North American continent.
Yes.
After that.
Either way, we both went for a joke.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Sure.
Either way, either.
Uh-huh. It's all right.
So,
it's free for everyone.
Now, Dave is in a little bit of a good mood. Let me tell you why.
Why?
He has been operating at a loss for about a year. Something he had a tragic loss. A year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And something good happened just before.
Something good happened today.
Just before we recorded this podcast. So
it's
why
true.
Don't you tell us that story, Dave?
We did the last album show of Completely Beatles And no one is happier than me that I don't have to research. And no, actually what happened today was I got my e-reader back. It was pretty exciting. What happened was we were at VanCaf. Remember when we were at VanCaf last weekend?
I do. By the way, everyone that came out to VanCaf.
Or was the weekend after, before that?
Yeah, it was, you know, whatevers.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Sorry, anyway.
Do you know what? Wait, if you listened to the show last week, you heard our live at VanCaf show. So let me just say, everyone that came out to VanCaf, thank you so much one more time. Steve Ralston, fantastic guest.
Yeah.
And thanks to VanCaf, they were wicked awesome. We're now deciding tonight whether we're going to do another live podcast very shortly. We'll tell you about that next week.
Okay.
Whether or not we're doing it or not. But thank you to everyone who came out and everyone who came up to us at our table and said hi. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, Steve told me to suck it. He tweeted me and told me to suck it. So I thought mm-hmm. that was good.
Good.
That's the usual thing. I think
in Canada, that's when a term a
guest,
of affection.
When a guest comes on your show,
yeah.
then they should immediately write back to you, you know, within a couple of days and tell you to suck it.
Right.
So I appreciate that. Well, no, the reason that he told me to suck it was because he looked at his Cerebus collection and he said High Society was number two, mm-hmm. was the second one.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of mixed up. Like when we were talking, I was thinking like back
We're not, by the way, talking about the happy thing right now. We'll get back
to that. Yeah, we'll get back to it. Because we were talking like when Dave Sim decided to collect a bunch of his comics together and produce a graphic novel.
Yeah.
The last thing that he wanted to do right away was, you know, put together all the crummiest ones that he drew, like in his opinion, you know, all the early ones where he's still learning how to draw and put those together and put them out there as a graphic novel. No. So what he did was he put together like what was kind of considered best at the time, the High Society period of Cerebus. Mm. So he collected together the High Society into this graphic novel and sold it by mail order. And so at that time, when it came out, I phoned Aardvark Vanaheim, like they had a number and I phoned it. And I actually spoke to Gerhard on the phone.
Who was the background artist.
Yeah. And so he was just happened to be answering the phone that time. And I ordered High Society through him. And then a couple weeks later or a week later or whatever, UPS, I never had a delivery. Like I never had like a freight company or parcel come to my house like that. And he came and like I had stuff mailed to me in the mail, but
yeah.
This was a guy.
Yeah, you've had mail.
Yeah, I've had mail, but this was a guy in a brown uniform in this really cool van kind of thing with a little funny snout on it. Coming up like Cerebus and coming up and
getting, was he dressed like Cerebus? That would be really cool.
That would have been nice, but I don't think the service extended to that. But I didn't pay that premium. But because you can get it express or you can get it Cerebus.
Yeah.
Right. So then he came and I had to sign for it and I got High Society and I got it so soon that
it was hot, literally hot
it
off the press.
It was hot off the press. That's right. I burned my fingers on it. It was signed by Dave Sim and by Gerhard, which I thought was nice. And, you know, it was like, it was weird. What was interesting about it was because it was so early, they hadn't really worked out how they wanted it, the design to work. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have later collections and they have, like, the name, you know, Church and State one with the little Aardvark Vanaheim logo with
and then it gives
the number of the volume, so like it's number two or number three, I guess it would be number three, and then Church and State number four. But my High Society, because I got it so soon, it says nothing on the spine. There's no High Society, no Aardvark Vanaheim logo, no number indicating where it falls in the order of things, which is kind of annoying for someone who's kind of a completist like me to have all these matching volumes with the spine and stuff, and then there's this one blank one in the middle of it. It's going, no. Bad,
but as a rarity collector,
I guess it's true. So that's when Steve and I were talking about it at the show. I was thinking, well, that's what he got because that's what I got at the time. That was what they were offering. Yeah, because I forget that I'm like 40 years older than every other person that I meet. So for him, you know, he was buying them when they had like four or five collections out. They probably, because I don't think they started numbering them until Flight. So that was quite a ways on.
Okay.
Before they started actually putting numbers on them to indicate where they were in the order. So. I just forget that. So I got mine in the early, probably in the late. Although I must have got it in the mid 90s. But anyway, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay. And so, why did he say suck it to you?
Oh, because I said
you were bragging about getting a UPS delivery.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, no. Big man gets deliveries.
No, because I was so insistent on my worldview. I was like, oh, no, you couldn't possibly have got the first one because that wasn't available at the time. You could only have gotten Church and State. That's what I was thinking. Not realizing, of course, like I say, that I'm 40 years older than him.
Yeah, youthful man.
He's a youthful man, and I am not. And
he's telling you stories about Mad Balls.
Uh-huh.
That was the first clue that he's younger than you.
I have no idea what that was.
Yeah.
In fact, when I went to do the title card and you suggested, oh, this is either going to be one of Steve's art or a Mad Balls one, and I was kind of like, well, that kind of limits me because I usually like to try and surprise people. So I went off the book and got to use a Care Bears cover. But
because the Madballs were guest stars.
On it. Yeah, yeah.
It all made sense.
It did make sense.
Very good. No, it was a very good cover as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it really was. So, okay, now back to your happy, joyful moment.
Okay, yeah. So if people have missed the saga of the e-reader, last year...
It's kind of a Hobbit, Lord of the Rings thing.
That's right.
We started as one episode. It's expanded into 57-part series.
One e-reader will bind them all.
Right. We went to a thing called Cause and Effect. Was that what it was called last year?
That's right.
And
it was stolen by hobbits.
That's right. And so we were doing a podcast in front of a bunch of people dressed as Homestuck characters.
That's right.
And they were just there to sit. Mm-hmm. Like, no one knew we were going to be there, and we were doing a podcast. And it was fun. It was a very fun podcast. But they were confused. And there was a couple of random X-Men that were sitting out there. Yeah.
And some anime characters and Pokemon.
A Pokemon or two.
A Sailor Moon or something.
A Bulbasaur, maybe a Squirtle.
I have no idea what you're saying, but sure. I like Squirtle. That's a great name.
It is.
But, while we were there, one of the problems when we got there was no AV.
Yeah.
There was no one there to help us.
By the way, let me just say, this is the weird thing.
No, let me just say.
No, sir. I don't know what character I'm doing. you go to these cons and the AV is broken. You would think, like, all these nerdy cons.
Yeah, there'd be
what happened
there.
To the old school nerd who knew how to work a tech thing?
Where's the tech nerd?
Ain't around.
No.
You go to San Diego Comic Con, buddy. Yeah. A light burns out. You know, nothing. No one can figure that out at all. Forget it. No. Done. You know, some audio problem. Well, it's going to be like that for the rest of the con. Days and days and days. So we show up and none of the audio stuff is set up.
There's no cables doing anything. So basically we had to like set up all the cables and put the mics and actually put chairs on stage.
We had to record things on a makeshift wax cylinder using a candle.
That's right. Can you hear me?
We were doing those Rudy Valley megaphones.
That's megaphone. Vote audio.
Welcome to the old Sneaky Dang Podcast. We had to sell war bonds at the end because of that for no reason. We did make a lot of that really, good war bond money.
We were
money.
Really mixing our periods.
We really were.
Yeah. And our semicolons. And so I had all this stuff going on, and I had brought my e-reader because I thought we were going to be there for a while because we had to come early and set up.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'm going to have some time sitting around doing nothing, and I don't understand Homestuck, so I can't be possibly entertained by this nonsense. So I had my e-reader there, and unfortunately, I left it behind. In my excitement that we were finished the show,
we got out of there.
I
threw it in the back of the Jeep. Getaway music played.
That's right.
Basically, a little Smokey and the Bandit.
Ding, 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 ding.
Eastbound down.
Ding, 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 ding.
There we go. Yeah.
And I had my banjo playing. And so then I left it there. I abandoned my e-reader.
You abandoned your books.
And my e-reader is kind of distinctive because the case is pink.
Right.
And it's a reproduction.
It's the same color as your own skin.
It's a reproduction. I can't remember the name of the artist now, but this guy did this kind of peacock themed, because peacock feathers were very popular near the end of the Victorian era. I don't know if you remember, like Whistler and all those guys into their Japanese and peacock sort of things. And so this design was sort of based in that time period, although, of course, the book is based in the Regency period, but for some reason he put peacocks. Anyway, so it had a very distinctive cover, so no one could mistake it for anything but something that David Dedrick would own. And so I wrote to them.
They said, suck it, Dave.
I wrote to them and I said, I lost my e-reader and I never heard from them. Like I said, did anyone find it there? Do you have a lost and found? Da, da, right. da. I looked on it was at UBC, University of British Columbia, the university here in Vancouver. And so I looked on their website. I looked on their lost and found to see if it got turned in there. It was not listed. And so then I kind of put out a plea on Facebook. I was like, help, I can't get my e-reader back. And so then...
What type of books are on there?
Lots of Trollope. The complete works of Trollope.
Right.
The complete works of Jane Austen.
A whole clollop of Trollope.
There's a clollop of Trollope. That's the exact proper term for it. Exactly. I didn't know you knew that. All of Jane Austen, like the complete works of Jane Austen. I have a German theologian. I can't remember his name. It's a historical overview of the various lives of Jesus that were produced during the 19th century. Yeah.
Right.
And I can't remember the name of the, Albert Schweitzer. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now the Jane Austen ones, when you say the complete works, does that include the ones where she fights zombies?
That's not the complete works. That's the discontinued works.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. I'm not into those ones.
You don't like the Pride and Prejudice and zombies?
No. Nope.
Okay. Nope. Very good.
No, I don't like any of those books because I've tried to read them. I tried to read
Emma
and
the Wolfman.
Like,
you don't like that kind of.
What's it called? What's it called?
I just said Emma and the Wolfman.
Emma and the Wolfman. I might be into that one. I could. I'll see. But
because you do enjoy Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
If there was an Emma Teen Wolf crossover, you'd probably be down for that.
I would be okay with that. Yeah.
All right.
So
would listener Gavin Pitts.
No, he wouldn't.
Oh, he doesn't enjoy the Teen
Wolf?
Doesn't
like that show anymore.
Oh, okay.
It lost his favorite actor from the show.
The Teen Wolf?
The Teen Wolf. One of the characters left the show. One of the actors left the show.
Was it a Teen Wolf?
To go to Arrow. He's on Arrow now.
Quick question. Are there more than one Teen Wolf on the show? Is there more than a
there
one
were,
wolf?
There were two. I think one has left the show now as well.
Oh, so now it's back to a singular Teen Wolf. Because it should be called Teen Wolves or Team Wolf.
Team Wolf.
Team Wolf would also work if you have more than one wolf.
That would have been better. Well, I think there's several reasons people are not so happy with the show now. Is one,
less showering.
Exactly. The display of abdomens has gone down considerably.
Well, then there's a show called Arrow I think you might enjoy.
Yes, that's the show this guy went to.
Yeah, because he was...
Colton Haynes, is that his name?
Why are you asking me?
I might be mixing it up. I don't know.
Because he said he wanted to do some shirtless sit-ups.
He's
and,
a sexy
like, that's
man.
The show
yeah.
for it.
He's a sexy man. So he was being made to look like a lizard creature in Teen Wolf. He said, you know what? This is not sexy enough.
Can't show the abs.
I am a sexy man.
Yeah.
He went over to Arrow.
You're covering up my six-pack.
Yes. Is that how they just wear shirts with holes in them? They have a chest hole or a stomach hole in there?
I think so. Well, it's HD. You got to show it off.
Kind of like the boob window. They have an ab window in their costumes.
Okay.
Sure. You know, is it Power Girl? She has that boob window in her costume?
She does. Yeah. I don't think they call it that. She doesn't anymore, but she used to, yes. Yeah.
Well, if she doesn't anymore, that totally, what's the point of her character? Be my feelings.
Well, we can discuss that at a Comic-Con sometime if you want. You know what? There's probably going to be a lot of cosplayers at this thing that we might be doing shortly. You can go up to them directly and go, hey, what's the point of that? Ask them.
Exactly.
And they'll go, how old are you? And you'll go, 40 years older than you are.
That's right.
I'm always, no matter who you talk to, I'm always consistently 40 years older, which
That's
is why
true.
It's very dangerous for Dave to go into a retirement home.
Yes.
He will turn to dust.
I will talk about things older than the people in there.
That's right. Once again, Rododio.
No, even older than that. What do you guys think of Trollope? Get out of here.
How about that Archduke Francis Ferdinand? He's really got it coming to him,
That's not that old. That's only the 1920s or whatever.
Fine.
19-teens. The 19s.
Okay. I like that you're saying that that's not old. That sounds old.
Well, that's
you're
old,
saying
but if
that that's not old.
If you're in an old age home, I mean, that's, you know, it's not that old.
All right.
Right?
Sure.
Like how, let's see, we're
you
in 2014.
Bring up, no, you go to an old age home right now and bring up
80,
Archduke Francis Ferdinand.
If you're 80,
you're not going
to
get a lot of people going, I hated that guy.
Say you're 84, you would have been born in 1930. I guess Archduke Ferdinand would have been kind of old fashioned by that
yeah.
point. Yeah. He would have been like the 50s to us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Please continue.
So, I put out this plea on Facebook. Just, you know, this wine that my e-reader was lost that caused an effect, and no one would help me.
Yeah, an emoticon with a crying kitten.
But we had a helpful friend. We have a co-friend who actually is working right across from us, James Lloyd. He knew someone involved in cause and effect, so he put us into contact with each other.
Okay.
And so I contacted this person. I was like, hey, I lost my e-reader. Have you seen it? Blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, a pink cover with peacocks on it, Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice. And he's like, I'll look for it. So then, like, the next day I wrote and said, hey, did you happen to find my e-reader?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that fast. It was, you know, probably an hour later I wrote back. Have you found it yet? Did you find it now? Half an hour later, how about now? Would you leave me alone? So then maybe a couple weeks later, he writes back. He sends me a picture of it.
Yeah. And
I'm
a
all
hostage
excited.
Letter.
A hostage letter. It was use of magazine letters that torn out and pasted down on.
Seems a strange thing to do when you got a printer available.
Well, that's the thing, because then he took a picture of it and sent me it via email. So it was kind of weird. So I had his email. Plus the anonymous letter and the picture of...
And he's clearly in the picture.
And they had the book open, and there was this giant picture of Anthony Trollope, you know, his full kind of big face of him on the inside, and then there was a gun pointing at Anthony Trollope. So I was really worried. And so I said, you know, well, this is great. So, you know, when he's like, well, in a couple of weeks, we're going to kind of, you know, set some time for everyone to get them back. So I was like, aces. So I kind of let it slip. Let it slide. Left it alone because I didn't want to bug the guy.
Mm-hmm.
A little while later, I wrote back kind of timidly, say, when are we going to get this stuff? Like you said.
Yeah.
No response. Wrote it again. No response. Like nothing. Nothing at all.
Right.
Forever. Then when we were at VanCalf.
Yep.
Remember VanCalf?
We
were there last weekend. I mean, the weekend before last. And we had a good time.
Yep. You were 40 years older than everyone there.
I was. So
but it's okay because they're all
I
quite young, so,
so
it was fine.
It was fine. It was fine. So then I happened to notice this person. And I'm like,
you tackled him.
I'm like, I know,
jumped over the table.
I know who this person is, although I've never met him.
Yeah.
I know that this is the person.
Because you're psychic.
I think so. I just knew that it was him.
Okay.
And
why? How? What? Was he wearing a shirt?
He's wearing a shirt.
With your e-reader on it?
He was wearing straight. Have you seen me? It said.
Uh-huh.
Because it was from my posters that I put up all over town. Have you seen me? And with a picture of my e-reader with Anthony Charles' face I had opened with his tree. Have you seen me? No, I don't. He's wearing the there's a con that he's promoting called the Northwest thing. And so I was like,
Northwest Fan Fest, I think.
Northwest Fan Club. So sure. I was like, I know this person's involved in it. I know that he kind of looks like this person, or I imagine that's how he looks.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask if he is that person. So I said, are you such and such? And he said, yes, I am. I said, you have my e-reader and I'd like to get it back. He said, oh. He says, oh. And he actually said, oh, I wish I knew you were going to be here. I would have brought it. I said, you didn't ask me. I didn't say that. why would that even be a thing, right? Like, so then, but he gave me the name of someone else.
Sure he did.
Who was much more responsible than him.
Okay. You realize he's listening to this, right?
No, he's not.
Okay.
And this person.
If he is. Thanks, everybody.
I'm just joking.
All right.
And so then this guy got in touch with me. A couple of days later, he's like, when is VanCalf? So I was like, well, it's already come and gone.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were in like the nerd lines, like you knew what was happening.
Nope.
But I guess there's like layers that separate.
Here's how not into it a lot of nerds were. Victor Lucas, who is the host of Electric Playground, Reviews on the Run, very good shows.
Okay.
Also hosts a show called Vic's Basement Podcast, really good. He only found out about it because he follows me on Facebook and we took a picture there and he went, oh this looks great. And then he showed up with his daughter there and there was no bigger nerd than him. He is like, his business is to know all of this stuff. He did not know about VanCalf.
Underpromoted, you're saying?
No. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, there's no budget for promotion. I mean, the thing was packed for like the whole thing. So like,
true enough.
You know, I got no complaints, but maybe it wasn't for the nerds. Maybe it was for the straights that showed up.
Yeah.
A lot of people there, again, following the Twitter of Japadog, came for the hot dogs, wandered in because it was free.
Sure.
And they bought stuff, so good for them. But please continue your story.
So he passed me on to this other fellow.
Trollope has long since died on your machine.
I contacted him. He contacted me. It was kind of a little back and forth. And then tonight we went on a long drive.
Right.
And picked it up.
And we went to we saw a secret meeting.
We did see a secret meeting.
And they were planning things. Now, I don't want to spoil anything for you guys, but I'm gonna drop a couple of spoilers.
F-bombs?
Well, no, I'm just going to drop a couple of spoilers of what you're going to see if you go to Northwest Fan Fest. I hope that's what it's called.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's called Northwest Fan Club.
I'm not sure. Okay, here's one thing, and they didn't want me to tell you this. Actual cyborg.
Actual cyborg?
Yeah, a guy who's an actual cyborg, half human, half robot.
Yeah.
He's going to be there.
Sure.
Okay. There's a dog that makes his own comic books.
Okay.
He actually makes... Now, to be fair... How does he make them? Yeah. Well, what he does is he starts with autobiographical stories and then he embellishes.
Okay.
So he bases them on his own life and then he goes off on some flights of fancy. He's got a bit of a Crumb influence. Like a bit of a Crumb.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is it called Rough Life?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to do one called Pause and Effect.
Okay.
But that was more just a mini back when it was...
Sure, back when it was cool.
Back when it was kind of cool. Yeah. Like, to be fair, the dog hasn't, you know, it's a young dog. You wear your influences on your sleeve or on your furry arm.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. And there is an elderly gentleman who dresses like Mario, but here's the thing, he's never... heard of Mario.
Okay.
And they're kind of keeping him in the dark. He just coincidentally...
So Mario wears red pants?
Yeah.
Does he wear a flat cap with polka dots on it?
No, he wears a flat red cap with an M on it.
Oh, okay.
Because his name is Mark.
Okay.
And he's got the mustache, but again, he is not familiar with Donkey Kong.
No.
He has never heard of Super Mario.
How about Qbert?
He has never played a video game. He's not aware of any of this.
Okay.
He is going to be there, and they're going to surprise him by letting him know what character he looks like. So he's an actual guy who's just lived his whole life dressed this way.
I wonder if he would care.
Well, I don't know. We'll see at the actual con. So those are the three things I saw. Living cyborg,
dog
that makes his own indie comics, and a guy who dresses as Mario but is not aware of Mario and has never played a video game.
The dog is impressive even though he's just making indie comics.
Well, you'd have to see the stories. They're mostly autobio bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, look.
A lot of whining.
Well.
Does he show himself masturbating? I don't want to see that.
Well, I don't know because he's fixed.
A lot of dragging himself around the carpet.
No, he's fixed. So it's a lot of stuff where like he's complaining about people at Starbucks. Like they don't let him into Starbucks, but he's just like another Starbucks, rolling his eyes. Dude, we know. Okay, sure. Listen, we've all seen that indie comic and it's great. And your life is so exciting. Okay. I get it. I get it.
Does he have a lot of problems charging his eye bone at Starbucks?
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. It's fine. It's black and white. And you know what? He cross-hatches way too much. Oh,
sounds like me. Are you sure you're not talking about me? Are you conflating two different things into one?
No. He's got his own style.
Okay.
No, when you do it, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
I know it wasn't.
We got to decide if we're going to do that con or not. I think it probably will be fun. We'll let you know. So Dave, now on the way over here, you said to me that you were thinking of a topic for the show. Normally, we do not think of topics for the show.
Well, it wasn't really a topic. It was more a question. And I kind of asked you it. When we were at VanCaf, we were sitting beside a gentleman.
Vancouver Comics Arts Festival.
And he was pushing not only himself, which is fine, but it's fine to push yourself. I mean, he was.
I was pushing myself. I was like, say, everyone who walked by, I'd offer a free button, a Sneaky Dragon button, or what's the other one? I Blame Dave.
I Blame Dave. Very popular, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a
lot.
It was
crazy.
It was nice actually seeing all the people with them on their bags and stuff.
Yeah.
I have actually walking down the street seen people with the badges, just randomly, and they don't recognize me. Oh, this was a nice thing when we went to visit to get your e-reader back.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're talking, and then at the end of it, you mentioned VanCaf, and one of the people goes, "Oh, I saw you guys there." And I'm like, I think it's strange. If you take us out of context, you will never recognize us in the world.
Well, because I'm wearing the dragon costume.
We have to. That's true. You do enjoy the dragon costume.
Quite a bit. Too much more than I should. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's an idiomatic
saying,
right?
You're on your 17th hour of podcasting today. Don't worry that you're getting any of this right. I'm appreciating. So we were sitting between two gentlemen. Which gentleman are you talking about?
Not you. I was sitting between another gentleman.
An officer and a gentleman.
He was an officer and a gentleman. And he was pushing a comics classes, like a course in comics making. He was talking to a lady, and he said to her, she said, "Oh, I can't draw." And he said, "Talent is a lie. It's the biggest lie people will tell you, that people have talent."
Okay.
He said,
"Do you think America's got talent?"
I think they proved that they have.
Okay.
I think they proved that because they have a television show. I don't know if you've heard of this.
What's that?
They have a TV show and it's called America's Got Talent.
So you think
he can
dance?
No, that's a different one.
Last Comic Standing.
No, this one's called
Biggest Loser.
No. They all fit into the same show. I mean, you could apply all those things to that show actually, because there's people in there who think they can dance.
Right.
There's people in there who
storage locker fuckers. Is that it? Where they open up a storage locker and they've got to have sex with at least one thing in the storage locker?
Is that what it is?
Have you seen Storage Locker Fuckers?
It's called Storage Fuckers.
No, that's a different show.
Okay.
That's a totally different show. That's where they have to have sex with someone who's in the storage industry.
Okay.
No, this is where you actually bid on a locker, you open it up, and then you have to have sex with at least one object in that locker in order to claim your money.
Okay. When you're watching, don't you feel like when they're having sex with it, you're kind of like, they just put that in there. Like, that's not what you'd really find in a storage locker.
No, I think it's faked.
Okay.
I think it's fake. Yeah. Because I don't think
like the orgasms.
Well, yeah, I don't think you would find that many porn stars in storage lockers normally.
No, that's very rare.
It was very,
yeah, it's very odd that
anyway,
they were there.
But please continue.
So, who's saying?
Once in a while, we've got to like swear so that we can use our explicit warning.
Yeah, otherwise.
If we don't use it, we lose it.
That's right. It's like your password on a website. If you don't return within a certain amount of time,
it's burned.
Is that right? It's burned?
Yeah. If you don't return, then it's burned.
Then it's burned. I did not know that was the expression. So
we're sitting next to this gentleman. He says, talent is a lie. And you turned over and went, "In your case," and it was like, burned.
Burned.
Yeah, just like you
like a password.
Yeah.
I said, you are burned like a password. He's like, he looked at me quizzically.
That's right.
He's like, "I don't know what that expression at all." I'm like, "You do not know the modern idiom, sir."
That's right. And that's from a guy who's 40 years older than the guy.
That's right. I said, "You're an idiomatic." So
talent.
My question, was, is talent a lie?
Well, what are we talking about? Like, if you're talking about sports talent, now listen, if you're born genetically tall, then I think your talent for, say, playing a basketball, you've got a little bit of a, I mean, that's not taking you all the way around the track, but it's giving you a 10-yard head start over most people.
Yeah.
But I think in general, I don't think you can guess,
I'm not saying that.
Now, are you talking just biologically? You're born with, like, you are born and you have the capacity, perfect pitch, you should be a musician, that kind of thing. Are you born with perfect pitch or something like that?
Not even that necessarily. But I think that you know, most, like, say, yeah, let's just say for a musician that you are a person, like, if you're going to be a piano player, you have to
long fingers.
You have to have long fingers. You have to have, like, a big hand.
Or build a small piano.
Or, I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
Build your own piano.
Well, this is the thing I've always thought. Whenever they said that,
yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, yeah, you got to have big, long fingers because of the piano. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can think of a real easy way to solve that problem. But, make a smaller piano.
But they say that, and I'm sure that it's helpful, but I don't think it's essential because there's lots of very good
lady pianists who beats the odds.
Yeah, the lady pianists who play, and I doubt that they have ginormous washboard finger or hands or whatever. They're just like normal size, and they just can move their hands
clearly
quickly.
If you've got huge hands, it makes it easier to play the bass. It makes it easier to do this, that, and the other. There are biological things, yes. But now, all right, let's talk talk something like writing. Okay.
Sure.
So writing, do you think, like, where do you think, so you have a child, they are born.
Yeah.
And you have had childs being born.
I have had childs being born. That's true.
That's right.
A child's Christmas in Wales.
Isn't it terrible that I'm a writer and this is how I speaks? So anyway.
When my child Harold was born.
So your child is born.
Yeah.
At what point do you think you would know whether they could be a writer or not? Or is there any point that it's like, eh, it's useless now. Forget it. No dice. Can't do it.
Well, because I think there's a particular mix that there's a particular set of skills there that that's the thing. Like, I just wonder, like, when I hear someone say talent is a lie, I feel like,
what do you think he's saying when he's saying that? Is he just trying to get someone to come to his class?
I kind of wonder if he's just trying to sell an idea that even he doesn't believe it. He must think that he's talented. He's an artist. He draws pictures. He thinks as a talent, like, but when people would ask him, how do you draw Superman, or how long does it, you know, he would say it takes 54 years, meaning I am that age and it's taking
it takes me this long to draw Superman.
Takes me this long to develop the facility to draw Superman.
But let's go with that. I don't want to say who this artist is.
No, I don't.
All right, so let's just make this artist called Joe Schuster. No, wait, that's no good. how long did it take him to draw Superman?
It's Wayne Schuster.
12 years. 12 years, and then he drew Superman.
Yeah.
Okay, but say this person here draws Superman.
Yeah.
All right, it's like someone like no offense to like a John Byrne. Yeah. But John Byrne, when it was like 1982, he was drawing the X-Men. And he learned how to draw the X-Men with all the years of his life leading up to this.
Yeah.
Now, at this point in his life, he draws the X-Men pretty much the same way he drew it then. That now it's just stopped. Now, you could say, like, it took me this amount of years to draw, including those years up now to now. Well, maybe it didn't. Maybe it took you that time, and then you locked off, and that was it. And now this is as good as you've done. You know, there's musicians who just play the same songs that they played 20 years ago, and maybe they play them a little better, but maybe they're just a coast at this point, and you went from this point to this point. I mean, that you know, my story is I can track back things that you would say I'm talented as, and I could show you the point where that got developed, or when the real spark happened, or where the jump occurred. And then for the most part, you know, most of the things that people call talent is just you getting obsessed for a period of time and then...
Sure, that's true.
And then bringing it...
That's true. And it's a certain personal type. I'm not coming at this from any particular angle. I just thought it was interesting
when you
said
that. What's your axe to grind, buddy?
I don't have an axe to grind. I just...
No, it's an interesting question
because, you know, there's a mixture. Like, my daughter, Millis, is a really good writer. And I would dearly love for her
What type of writing?
Fiction. Like, writing stories. Like, she writes characters that feel as real... Like, when she writes on a piece of paper, when you read those characters, they feel as real people to you.
Okay.
Just how she can inhabit those characters and make them come alive on the page.
All right. And how long has she been able to do that?
You know, well, she...
When did you... Okay, let me give you this. When did you first get the inkling? Oh, maybe she's... Not she just a parent's pride of, know, oh, good, you put those words together. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
Oh, wait a minute. This is crossed to where this is actually...
Yeah, that's the thing with me, because I mean, I have pride as a parent in my kids, obviously, but I'm not going to lie to them about...
And tell them you love them.
Tell them that I love them. Thank you. I will tell them that I love them. They love to hear that. But, you know, I know how to sell to an audience. That's what I'm saying. Just joking, Millis.
Anyone at the dinner table from out of town.
That's right. Try the veal.
Tip your mom.
Don't go with sailors. But it was around. It was in junior high, high school that time, when she started like doing writing in class and taking creative writing in her class. And you know, she wrote some stories, and I sneakily read them on the computer. And I was really impressed by the way that these characters came alive. You know?
Right.
But she doesn't have that next step in her. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have that desire to move it up up a notch, like to take those characters.
Or, well, would she have a reason to?
Well, no one does. I mean, why?
Oh, yeah,
why would I want to write a story?
Yeah, why would you want to write a story? That's the question. Yeah.
Well, the reason I want to write a story is because I have a story I want to tell. Do you
to
know what
who?
I mean? It doesn't really matter to me in a way. Like,
an audience helps.
An audience helps, but when you're writing a book, you have no audience. You know, and you can try to get people to read your unfinished manuscript, but
yeah,
that will make you the least popular person that you'll ever be in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Besides the person that, you know, pissed in the coffin at the funeral.
Yeah.
Other than that,
to be fair, that was his fetish. And that wasn't his will.
Well, to be fair, I really had to go.
That's right.
I really
Listen,
had to go.
Tinkles the clown had certain requests.
So the problem was I missed the mouth. But
and so the balloon didn't get big. You just got to go till that balloon pops. Who won? We did. Okay, good.
So, there's a line of us. That's right. Who's going to try that? $4.
Okay,
$4.
But it feels like you're talking, though, about writing in a complete vacuum, and I don't think anyone does that.
No.
I'm going to write my novel, my full novel,
yeah,
and out of nowhere, and I've had no encouragement, really, up to this point, and now I'm going to do it because I've got a story I want to tell. I mean,
I kind of feel that way. I mean, I'm working on a novel. I mean, it's very slow because working in a vacuum is very difficult. But.
Okay. But who do you see reading said novel? Do you picture anyone reading it, or
not really?
You don't. So it's really okay. Well, maybe that's the slow go.
Okay, here's the thing. That's part of it. Yeah, there's the thing. Like when you're writing your novel, that's your picture. I don't picture actual readers. I just picture me like in a mansion beside a pool after I've written it.
Okay. Here's what you should do.
Just
find a friend who's got a mansion and a pool. Befriend that person and then sit there.
That's as close as you're going to get, Dedrick.
No, that's fine. What do you care whose pool it is? You're still wet. You're in the pool. Do you care? Do you own it or
not?
I
don't have to vacuum it.
No, now you don't have to pay for the freaking pool.
I don't have to heat it. I don't have to put the
chlorine in it. Yeah, I mean, again, that's you're talking the lottery thing. Like to me, like if you're doing any art, you've got to have stages of encouragement, and you've got to have reasons to motivate you. And
sure,
it isn't just I need to paint this because it must be painted.
Yeah,
and that's people say the thing about the sculptor: I must free what's inside, and I must do that. Yeah, but realistically, as a human being,
mm-hmm,
if you probably had people who were wanting to read that novel.
Yeah.
Maybe other writers that you knew,
yeah,
and you were reading their work and were inspired by their work and they wanted to read your work, maybe that would make it go a little faster. I don't know.
Sure.
Everyone does it different.
No, you're right. I mean it's hard
back
to write
we were
in
let me go back to when we were in the mini comic game, all of us. Like that we were all self-publishing our own stuff and going to the Kinko's or the print shop,
mm-hmm,
that dynamic, you feed on that and it makes you create more things.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a problem when you're only showing your stuff to friends. I mean, I think that's a problem. I always think, and I always say this on, I've got a page on Facebook called No And where I talk about improv, and I wrote a book called it's about tolerance, stupid, about improv and how, a life in the arts without going crazy. And one of the things,
know.
Okay. Well, I haven't mentioned it in a while. Go to the Amazon and mention it. I need the money, buddy. So I need to get that pool so you can sit next to it.
That's true.
But what
get on that, would you?
But something that I think is really important when it comes to art is that art is for strangers. And like you can only show stuff to your friends and your family and
mm-hmm,
and close encouragers for the longest time.
Well, their praise doesn't feel real.
Well, their praise is real, but it's
real, but it's not earned.
No, it's not
I mean.
Even that. I don't even think they're giving you
no,
too
it's
much.
No, it's not earned.
No, because like your parents might be too harsh on you. Like I think they're both too kind and too... And too harsh, because they know you too well, so they're bringing too much baggage to your work. The work can't stand under the shadow of you. You are there next to it. It's like if someone was asking you to look at their painting and you're looking at it and they're standing over your shoulder looking right at you while you're looking at it, you're not going to be able to like distance yourself from them.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like. So eventually you've got to take this work and put it in the land of anonymous, and people that don't give a fuck about you and don't love you need to read it, and that's them. And then when they like it or don't like it, then that's a little bit more real. And luckily we live in a time where you can actually sort of almost do that.
Yeah.
Now. But to your question of talent, I almost feel like it's a Marvel superheroes movie sometime, and it's like, what's the origin story?
Mm-hmm.
What was the time that Tony Stark had all the metal in his heart and was forced to go in the cave and build the damn suit, you know? And, you know, for me, it was like tough time in junior high, needed to go introvert and create my own world because I didn't like the world that was out there. And that's when I started doing my hustling and my writing and really concentrating on stuff. And then later, you know, with improv, just kind of falling for that and wanting to have an escape and working on that really, really hard. You know, but I was, you know, I don't think anyone that would have seen me starting would have gone, I had any talent at all for the longest time.
You did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No.
Because I worked with you.
No, you didn't. Like, okay. By the time you saw me, though, yeah. I was a couple of years deep. Like, sure. you saw me way years deep, you know, and, you know, if you saw my writing when I was like 13,
yeah.
You know, terrible, obviously. Oh, it should have been.
Of course it is.
But I was still putting it out there.
But that's the thing. I mean, part of it is...
When does talent kick in?
I think right away.
No.
I do.
Well, give me your definition of right away then. Where's right away? Like if I'm a writer, when was I a writer? When I was 4?
Sure. If you were telling stories,
I was drawing
stories. I was an amazing liar when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I could tell you amazing stories. And they were complete lies. They were based in my life, based in reality.
Right.
I remember when I moved from Coquitlam to Delta and started at elementary school there, and I didn't really have any friends. And I remember there was this boy in class, and he played hockey, street hockey.
Yeah.
And I just told him these most fabulous lies about playing street hockey in Coquitlam. Just the most outrageous stories. And they were fun stories. I didn't tell him that it was me, you know? I just told these stories. And not because I wanted him to like me. I just like to tell stories.
Yeah.
Because they were good stories. Mm-hmm. And the problem was, though, is when one day he said, you should come over and play hockey with my friend and I. I was like, instead of saying the proper thing, which would be, oh, I wish I could, but I'm super busy every day after school. I can't possibly make it. I'm sorry. Because actually, I'd never played street hockey, really. I just sat in my house and read books and stuff. So I'm probably not very good at it. I said, sure, I'll come over. I went home, said to my brother, Glenn, I need to borrow your hockey stick. He's like, why? I said, oh, this guy invited me to go play street hockey. Which his reaction was like, you? Which was the proper reaction. Mm-hmm. Like, no way, dude, I have talent as an athlete.
Right.
So I took the hockey stick and I went to this guy's house and I completely embarrassed myself, humiliated myself playing horrible street hockey, which had never occurred to me before, but that you need a talent to do that. Mm-hmm. That it actually involves skill and takes some talent. And so I was just terrible. And he's like, he's so disappointed in me. And he's like, man, I thought you could play. Like, I thought you could play. You could tell him all these great stories and stuff like that. Which I had to say, well, I never said it was me. But, you know, I could have just kept the lie going if I had been smarter. But I just, you know, I didn't even think about it. You know, I just was telling these great stories. And I wasn't being malicious. I wasn't actually trying to build myself up or anything.
You're just a storyteller.
I just love to tell stories to people, you know. And so, and even before that, when I was a kid, even before I could write letters, I could draw pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've talked about before, I would take the dividers between Muffets, the Quaker Oats Muffets, which in those days didn't come in a plastic pouch to keep them from getting stale. They just came in a box with a cardboard divider in between them.
Right.
And then I would save the cardboard dividers and then I would divide them up into a panel, like in a comic strip in the newspaper. And then I would draw mimed stories in there. The drawings were terrible, but the stories were, you know, getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And they showed a talent. Someone who wanted to tell stories and was...
Now, who said that they were good? Or was it just you knew they were?
I just knew that they were good,
You didn't show them to your brothers?
No, I showed them to people all the time.
And they liked them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I remember writing the story when I was in grade 2 and my dad laughing at it and proving that he was old like me. He laughed and he said, you should write for Jack Benny. I didn't say to him, who's Jack Benny? Because I kind of knew because we listened to the radio. Like,
that's a good 3 years worth. Get on it now. He's going to die soon. And then there's no more work.
That's right. He's not really doing anything anymore, Dad. But okay, I'll start writing for, you know. But,
hey, Mr. Benny.
That's true. But I could string together words in a way that was funny. It was a story about me being chased by a crocodile up a tree. And it was a funny story. And I knew it was funny. I wrote it to be funny. I wrote it you know, knowing.
So when, I'm going to go with this. When was talent come in? When you were three, were you a storyteller?
Yeah.
When you were.
Yeah.
When you were two. Like, when does this kick in?
But when your personality starts developing, that's who you are. I mean, you start to develop your talent.
You do develop a personality. That's true.
And your interests start to define who you are.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can't.
So you think you're in. All right. So wait a second. Oh, so I'm going now nature, nurture.
Yeah, sure.
So what do you think it is then? Like,
inborn.
What's that?
Inborn. Like born, yeah.
So sure. If they biologically took you and put you into a sporty family, you would have still grown up a writer.
Oh yeah.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because that's who I was. That's who I am. And I know that
genetically
from,
you're sure. a writer. What I know makes that, you genetically a writer?
I have no idea. It's just how I'm wired. And it was the same with my daughters. I mean, once my daughters started to become my daughters,
yeah,
they became who they are. I didn't shape them. They became...
Now you're talking about one daughter who has a love of writing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and who has like grown up surrounded by books.
Okay.
Books.
But
I
mean, same with my other daughter, and she is not interested in that at all.
Right, but like, I don't want to talk too much about your kids, but like, you have a hilarious daughter and you're very funny. Okay, so like, she's grown up with humor. She was funny
from the get-go.
I know, but you've been also you from the get-go. This is the thing.
But no,
you're
it's different than that.
You're the exposure, you know? I don't know if it's genetic.
But by your argument, they should both be hilarious.
No.
When one wasn't and one was.
No. I think each kid has the potential to go in like many, many different directions.
Sure.
You know, but like what they're exposed to and what they have to deal with, you know, a lot of times I find like it's very rare to find humor that isn't a defensive mechanism. Like you don't normally have humor unless it's, you know, even if humor can be one of many things. One, it's like things are bad. I need to defend myself somehow against this.
Sure.
And so I respond to that. The other way is parents like it when I tell jokes.
Yes, that would be me.
I get love from this. So yeah. I'm going to keep this cycle going and present it this way.
That's right. It was a way to get attention. The same way that I memorized poems from James and the Giant Peach.
Or your other daughter, you know, dad likes books. I read books. Dad and I have something to talk about. I write story. Dad likes to read. I'm giving Dad something to read. There you go.
Like she won't let me read her stuff. But
that's true to a degree. Yeah, that's right. But it seems like in both cases, I could easily see the things that you're talking about, not necessarily being a genetic thing, but as in like a way of achieving love.
Yeah, but
in your house, both behaviors get rewarded. If like I want to play field hockey,
that would have been rewarded too. Though.
Okay,
that's the thing. Like. It's not just so...
But it's not as obvious.
No, it's not true. I mean, the girls grew up with me watching sports.
Oh, you're watching sports.
They know that I like sports.
I'm trying to think of something that you don't like in the house that they would have like been into and just come up with on their own because their great uncle genetically... you know, enjoyed bullfighting. And so, you know, one of your daughters is out there with a pit bull trying to dodge it with a cape, you know, just because like genetically that's the way it is.
You know, Phyllis will read, but she's not that interested in books.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like music all that much. You know, she's not really deep into music. So a lot of what I have, she's not really that interested in. You know, like her interests are completely different than what mine are.
Right.
You know, and what she enjoys are totally different than me. I mean, she'll watch movies, but that's not really her thing either. You know, so I just, to me, like, you know, it was a question for me too especially when I was a young parent and, you know, we had babies and they're just these sort of blobs that are kind of developing and you just kind of do your will because you are moving them, you know, you're carrying them around and you put them down and you feed them and then they slowly become people.
Yep.
They, right away, I could see their personalities and I could see what they were, you know, and I always used to tell people I was going to write a book called When Did You First Meet Your Child?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the idea of when you realized who that person was that was in your house. You know, because some parents can never meet their child.
No.
They'll always, project themselves and their interests onto their children.
Yeah.
You know, rather than seeing their children for who they are. And that's important because you can project all you want on your children and you can never make them interested in what you are or even talented in what you are interested in. You can have a child, you can train him to become a quarterback, you can set him to quarterback classes.
My dad wanted me to be a soccer player.
Sure. And that's not where your talents were. You did not have the physical
abilities. Don't know. Who knows? Yeah, but I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, because you recognize that you didn't have
that wasn't the reason, but yeah, I just didn't want to.
Because
I didn't find it fun.
But you didn't find it fun because you weren't good at it.
No,
right?
That's not the case. I was fine at sports as a kid.
Okay.
I was equal to any kid playing.
I was terrible at sports as a kid.
Yeah, I had no problem.
But I desperately wanted to play.
I was fine. Here's the thing. I was fine with sports. I was fine with wrestling. I could, like, fight kids.
Yeah.
Like, I was fine. You know, we get into just fights at, like, recess, and I'd be flipping kids over. And
yeah.
I had no problem with sports.
Yeah.
No issue with that.
Yeah.
Until I, like, moved here, and then I was the new kid, and then it was like, shit. And I had to, like, really concentrate, when it just went withdrawal, and mm-hmm. it was my way of dealing with depression. But go ahead if you want to finish your point on this. I'll tell you what I think the person next to you was actually saying to that lady when you're done.
Okay. Because we have a similar story in a way, that I moved from a very comfortable place in my life. You know, I was fairly popular in school. I had a girlfriend mm-hmm. in elementary school. I was, you know, had lots of friends. I wasn't great at sports.
You were Archie Andrews.
But I had two girls who liked me. One was blonde, one was brunette. And
that's right. You had that weird checkerboard thing on the back, on the sides of your head.
Constantly.
You didn't know what that was.
I didn't know. I just assumed it was from the way that my haircut was, but yeah. Whatever. And it was like I was a horse, and they did that checkerboard pattern on my mm-hmm. using a razor.
That's why you like horses now.
Totally. And
of course, that guy should be a farrier.
Actually, the two girls that liked me were both brunettes, so it's your theory is wrong.
That you know of.
Actually, the three girls. But anyway.
Okay.
So I was...
All right, let's stop padding this story.
That's true.
You know, was this going to be a sob story at
saying,
this point?
So okay. Out of that comfortable situation,
yeah.
I was taken and put into a different place where suddenly...
You only had two girlfriends.
My first day of school, it was a school dance. It was like a Halloween party in school.
Right.
And you're here with a bunch of strangers, and suddenly there are people that like to dance, which we didn't do at my other elementary school. We never got to dance there.
Okay.
And I went to the school where sock hops were all the rage, and we were supposed to dance all the time. And it was...
All these stories do make you sound quite old.
I could never...
saying there's a sock hop.
I could never fit into that situation because... Yeah. I was just kind of thrown in there and not slowly introduced to it.
Absolutely, that's what you need.
You know, and
you can't throw the fish into the tank with the other fish.
But
the other fish will turn on said fish. See also every school.
But the thing was, I was already funny before that. I didn't develop humor as a defensive situation there. Mm-hmm. I was already funny. If I used humor in a defensive way, I was already doing it. I was already doing puppet shows in Coquitlam with my friend where my pig smoked pot, i.e. he smoked an actual... pan, like a, you know,
a pot.
The parents didn't laugh at that joke, by the way.
No, they don't like pigs.
but yeah, we used to make felt hand puppets, and we would put on shows and stuff like that. You know, so I was.
And then he'd do some acid and burn himself with the acid. He just didn't know anything about drugs.
But you know, I'm
just
saying.
I'm gonna do a lid. He actually used a lid. He didn't know. He didn't know that
pig.
He doesn't know how to do drugs.
Pigs are dumb.
Stupid pig doesn't know how to do drugs.
God. And so.
A joint. It's actually a joint from a door hinge.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. How would that pig know?
He'd see a policeman. He'd say, "I smell bacon," but he was just smelling himself. It was so hard to
what
be a pig.
A dumb pig.
He was dumb. But I was.
Dave, can I speak to that pig today?
So, if I had him with me, maybe.
Okay.
Did you? Well, I guess it's probably pretty rare that people made their own felt hand puppets.
I may have made hand puppets.
And perform with them.
Yeah.
See, that's a talent. That's a burgeoning of your talent. You may not mm-hmm. be great. It might not be the funny. It's funny to you and your friends because you're doing it and you're in that moment of the parents who are forced to watch it. Oh, boy, poor them.
Yeah, they did have to watch a lot of puppet shows. It's fair.
But to me, that is talent. That is you beginning to grow into your talent.
Okay. But
there's 100 kids around you in your same neighborhood who are not doing that.
Okay. That's your okay. So when you went to this other school and it's bad,
terrible, but
okay, all right. But what changed in you then, personality wise? Is that when you felt like an introvert for the first time?
No, I was already an introvert.
I
was already drawing and all that kind of.
Okay, gotcha. But did your personality change at all in the new school?
I mean, I probably became less social.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was harder to. It was just hard to make friends there because I was straddling two different neighborhoods.
Right.
I still had friends and family in Coquitlam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I lived at a different place. It was a long way away.
Now, how old were you this time?
Sort of grade six.
Grade six.
And so, and I mean, that's a pretty important time because you're just starting to kind of grow into your teenage years.
Right.
And suddenly you're ripped out of this comfortable.
It's awkward at the best of times. Yeah.
And so, and then I never had friends for very long because... You know, just by circumstances, I made a friend in grade six. We were very good friends, grade six. Grade seven, we went to junior high school. We were in different homerooms, so it became harder to see each other. He moved away, so he was gone. I made another friend. I forced him away, apparently, because he moved away to another place. You know, and then you make another friend, and that lasted for a while. But, you know, it was hard.
By the way, right? My eyes are burning right now. I'm not crying at your story. If you look at me and go like, man, he's really touched by my tale of the pig who doesn't know how to do dope.
Poor pig.
He just wants...
He just wants some dope.
Yeah. And his name was Smoked Ham.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to smoke some weed.
He's just so... Poor guy.
Sorry, but please keep going.
I wish I had these jokes when I was a kid. It's pretty lame, really.
Not too late.
We made this one paper mache Snoopy puppet, and his head was so heavy that it would just fall over while we were doing the show. We just kind of fall backwards, like he had died. His neck had snapped.
Yeah. Oh, that would have made Charlie Brown sad. Charlie Brown comes out, and Snoopy's head is like lying next to his body.
Oh,
now you're depressed, huh, Charlie Brown?
Poor Charlie Brown. So okay, but you tell me what you interpret his thing.
Okay,
what was he doing?
All right, what is she, all right? Let me flip it, which is what I like doing.
You love flipping things.
I do love flipping things.
Kids in playgrounds.
So the woman clearly is interested in some way in comics. She's there. She's talking to this guy.
Yep.
There's been some interest.
Yeah.
And she says, did she say she wanted to do comics?
No.
How did he
threw it at her.
That you should come and do.
Yeah. Come to this class. Take this class.
Okay. Now, realistically, if she, if she was not lying, you know, and she was like saying, you know, I can't do that.
I can't even draw stick people.
I can't even draw stick people. I've got no talent. And he goes, you know, talent's the most, what does he say?
Talent is a lie.
Talent is a lie. Okay. Maybe talent isn't a lie, but talent in that case, if she wants to do a comic, that should not stand in her way.
No, not at all.
No. If you want to play music at any point in your life, then pick up a fucking guitar and learn how to play music and I think we're just in too much of this culture of the TV shows with, you know, so you think you can anything.
Yeah.
And the person goes up and sings a song and they go, you stink and you should never sing. And for trying to sing, shame on you and get out of here. And we're laughing at you. Shame, shame, shame. Go take a walk.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck every one of those shows.
Is it a long walk they have to take?
Yeah, they do take the long walk of shame out and then they put a camera in their face again and, you know, fuck that noise.
How do you feel?
Well, here's the way I feel about a lot of things. Like, there's people who are, okay, sometimes when you go to comic cons and you see all the mini comics or what have you, they all have a certain same flavor.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone does the same thing.
It tastes like paper. Well, I've noticed that too.
That's right. But they have the same influence because a lot of the same people who would get into this were inspired by the same group of people. And so you get this generic kind of malaise.
Okay.
And that's fine. What I like is the idea of like someone who's going, oh, this kind of interests me, but I wouldn't normally get into it. Okay, but I still think that person has something to say.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy in his class would in some way be able to show them a way. You know, maybe it's not teaching them how to draw from the ground floor, but like, you know, okay, let's take cutouts out of magazines or like on the internet. Let's use what do you call that when it's art that you can just like grab off the internet, like
clip art or
clip art. Sure. You know, I mean, people have done comic strips with clip art.
Okay,
you know, I mean, someone like the guy who does Dilbert, he can't draw for shit, and you're incredibly successful.
Yeah,
Matt Groening, who you know, Life in Hell. You look at his early stuff. Ernie Pook, you look at her early comics were just like cactuses talking to each other about how they didn't want to have sex with boys because they creep them out. You know, it's just like, yeah, you know, I like the large variety of voices. And those people, if you looked at them, you know, at the start, you would go, do they have talent?
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I think you would.
Oh, I would. I don't know. I don't know if, like, you know, the gauntlet you've got to go through as a kid of arts. I mean, maybe you get an art class teacher who gets it.
Yeah.
But odds are you don't. You get the art teacher who, like, and they don't give you the encouragement, and that just kills it in its tracks. You know, but someone like the guy who you're talking about, I think if she went to his, if she actually was interested in this and liked comics in some way, but went, the only thing standing in my way is I can't draw, that's a good class. Then go in and take that one class and see the variety of other ways of doing this. Maybe you'll meet a person who can draw, and the two of you can do something together. I don't know. This is one of my feelings, like, you know, this is actually kind of something that really does to me.
My
sister-in-law did the best first stand-up set I've ever seen. The best. I've seen a lot of people do stand-up for the very first time.
Yeah.
And the one that I saw her do was so fucking good. And And then her second one was actually pretty good, too. And the second one normally is the shit one. Normally, by the way, here's how it goes. You do stand-up the first time, you're probably going to feel like you did well because your adrenaline is so hot that you'll think you did well. Your second one, you'll go, I'm the worst, because you're not as scared.
Okay.
Your third one and fourth one, you'll start to get how you are.
Yeah.
But she was so good, she made the rest of the she made the headliner have to change her act because her work was so sincere that the other person couldn't do their normal kind of bullshit standard bits.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, oh, God, I would love to have her do more stand-up. But knowing the world of stand-up as it is and the structural that, you know, the structure that's in place for it, she would not fit into it and she would stop. And she hasn't really done stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like, shit, there's so many people probably like her that have something to say mm-hmm. that, like, fuck, it would be so much better if we could find a way of getting them into it.
Sure.
You know, I feel that same way with improv. And I talk about that a lot on my page. It's like, I want to hear from the people that aren't the extroverts, you know, who would normally rise to the top and be seen and be heard in the arts.
Yeah.
And I want to hear the people who have an idea, but are a little quiet and haven't been encouraged. And, you know, maybe they do have talent, but it's not been fostered.
That's right. I mean, that's a difference. Like when I listen to you, what I hear you saying is, you know, you don't like the idea of talent as a divider, as something that, you know, divides. There's talented people.
Us and them.
And then there's untalented people. Yeah. And if you are Matt Groening and you draw rabbits with one ear, which is patently wrong, or you're...
He draws rabbits because they're the easiest.
Or if you're so-and-so and you draw rabbits that look beautiful, like a picture, like a that person's talented, but Matt Groening isn't. To me, that's not what I'm talking about in terms of talent. Like, to me, talent is your inner drive to, you know, to do that, whatever it is that you want to do, whether it's make
a
quilt.
So talent is drive.
Yeah.
I see drive fueling talent. I don't see them as the same thing.
To me, they're the same because you need to have that. It's that interest in that thing. It's that desire to be a stand-up comedian mm-hmm. that makes you watch stand-up comics on television, that makes you buy a Steve Martin album, that makes you memorize Monty Python sketches, mm-hmm. that makes you watch SCTV, mm-hmm. that makes you try and write sketches yourself, that you feed into this interest that is in that. That's part of your talent, is why you're interested in those things.
Then I guess here's the thing that I worry with that.
There's no baseball player. I just want to say, there's no baseball players out there that became a baseball player by playing a lot of chess.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? That's not talent.
So what happens in this case? Right, I got two questions then. And let me ask the baseball player one first. So the baseball player grows up, wants to be a baseball player, wants to play baseball.
Yeah.
So goddamn bad.
Yeah.
Play. And then, I don't know, how long do you play baseball for? Till you're in your 40s? Like late 30s? Now you stop.
Yeah.
What do you do with your life?
Very good question. A lot of them do very badly with
their
lives.
That's the thing. Like, where's the drive go? What happens?
Yeah.
You know, what
occurs? Because their drive is to be a baseball player,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a hockey player. And once that career is over, you know, there's not many, unless you move into some side kind of close to it, like you're involved as a coach or you know, or you become a manager or you become a general manager or some sort of executive, you know, or just, you know, or you become a commentator or something. And you try to kind of have it as a side, so you're still kind of part of it, but not quite. But kind of like, well, we can't go back to it now, but kind of like, you know, the Beatles can't go back, you know, they can't go back to what they were. Yeah. It's the same with a hockey player or a baseball player. Once you've left, you can never taste that same feeling again. You know,
but they're musicians. The ones, I mean, none of them stop being musicians.
No, that's true. That's different. But it's different for baseball players. I mean, once you could say a baseball player could still play in a beer league.
Right.
And be incredible. I mean,
do they?
Some do. Some do, but yeah, it would be hard because it wouldn't be the same challenge.
If that's your main motive, I mean, that's my worry. It's like, what's your motive? If your motivator is motivating you to do something you can no longer do, what the hell happens then?
Sure. But I mean, your motivator, it could be baseball. Your motivator could be your competitive abilities.
Right.
You might have been
a salesman. You can move to something else that, you know, that has that same satisfaction.
Sure, that might have that same kind of adrenaline element to it. You know, there's lots of athletes that, you know, could have been like, you know, there's people who like could have been a soccer player or they could have been a basketball player, like Steve Nash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a super talented soccer player and could have ended up playing soccer professionally. He just happened to get a basketball scholarship and became a basketball player. And then he became a star basketball player. But he really, because he's very athletic, he could have done lots of different things that were sporty. You know, and that was his drive. His drive was to get to that place. The problem with the talent aspect for a sport, I mean, this is where it gets hard, though, Because you have your talent aspect, the drive, and then you have the physical talent part of it, you know, and can you convey, you know, can you take your desire to become a basketball player or whatever, and do you have the physical attributes to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some do, you know, I mean, Steve Nash is not a tall guy. He's not a giant. He's not one of those basketball players that, you know, can run up and do those amazing dunks and stuff.
But he's an outstanding athlete. But he's got enough of a heart that can take a whole game. He can put mm-hmm. up with it. He can do things physically that most people cannot do.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Now, and has taught himself to do it. I mean, he stayed. He was a guy who stayed yep. 2 hours after
oh, absolutely. Regular practice was Look, over. There's always practice as yeah. part of this. Now, yeah. my concerns are this. I don't want people to be limited by... I think like when you say talent, people go, well, you are or you aren't. And if I'm not by this point, then I never will be. So I won't.
Not true. Yeah. I mean, if you still have the interest in it,
that's
I don't
the thing.
See why
if
you
you've
can't.
Got the interest, yeah. now you've got to add the drive and then you've got to do something beyond the drive
yeah.
that keeps you motivated. I mean, I think that's a huge thing with any kind of talent situation is like mm-hmm. your drive's going to wear out.
Yeah.
You know, the sure. the passion.
Listen to Sneaky Dragon and you'll see where the drive has
yeah.
worn out.
Yeah. Your Okay, here's the thing. If I was just doing this podcast whenever I was passionate about doing this podcast, I would have done a lot less podcasts.
Yes.
But I know that I'm doing it every week, right?
Yeah.
So I sit down at this microphone every week
mm.
and I don't know necessarily what I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about something and here we go.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what the next comic I'm going to write, but I'm going to do it because yeah. I've set up that I'm going to do it.
Sure.
And so I'm going to do it.
Same with title cards. I have no idea. What's going to happen?
Right, but you need to set up something. Whether it's a structure that you're going to adhere to, whether it's friends that will motivate you, whether yep. it's an editor that will yell at you, whether it's strangers online who are looking forward to what you're doing, and when you're late with a title card, they'll go, "Where's the title card? I'm looking forward to seeing said title card." And you're like, yeah. "It's coming.
It's coming."
You know, there
had
you
a power
go.
Power outage. Boy, that really screwed me up. That power outage last weekend. Holy
yeah.
crap!
It's sorry, crazy. Sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, it was just nuts. And it was. It power came back on at 4:30, but by that time my day was over.
I guess my thing just on the because we got to wrap up soon.
Yeah.
My basic thing with talent is it's something that feels like almost talking about love. You know, where it's just too fucking simple to just go, well, you know, love's what, go the Beatles. Love is all you need in a relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes and no. You know, yes and there's going to be other things. If you're going to, you know, have a long-term relationship with somebody,
yeah.
We're going to have, there's a lot of stuff that's going to go into this that isn't just, but you got to have love, right? Yes, you have to have love,
yeah.
and there we go. And but then someone will always to the side go, well, a lot of arranged marriages work out, and the love comes afterwards, and it didn't start with that. But okay, that's true. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure there's some situations where someone gets into a field that they weren't necessarily motivated to be into a field, mm-hmm. and this happens later in life, and they go, oh, and then they develop something,
sure.
you know, that isn't the traditional, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a blank.
Oh,
no,
man.
You're 30 and all of a sudden you try something and...
You wouldn't believe how happy I was when I discovered my talents as a shipper receiver.
Well, here's a weird thing. Let's just go into this real fast. You're in your 40s. I'm
damn straight.
I'm turning 47 this Sunday. Yes, you can send me presents. I will not say no.
You don't send him flowers anymore.
Well, you don't have to send me flowers. It's actually weird sometimes. It's lovely to be sent flowers.
Fever.
No, I love flowers. It's lovely. Ah, damn. Now people are going to send me flowers. I got to check my post office every day. Otherwise, my post office guy's going, someone left these flowers here. Okay. I'm glad you came today because I don't want to keep these flowers for like days. I'm not going to water these things every day.
I didn't
day.
Know you had an office in Brooklyn.
Ah, he does. That guy down there. Oh, this mook. And then he turns into the thing and joins the fantastic. Joins
Yansty Street Gang.
But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're a young man.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have...
Now I'm young or I was young once?
You were a young man.
Yes, I was a young man
and
once.
And you know what? And here's the thing. You're now... Here's what's happening to you, Mr. David Dedrick. You are now doing podcasts.
Yes.
You're performing... Like, you would never 10 years ago.
Yeah.
This is not on the radar.
It's true.
At all.
Yeah.
Now, I think one of the things that guy was saying that she needs to hear is... Be open to things that you weren't thinking about.
Yeah.
And I think you are open to things that you weren't thinking about before. Like, you know, your dad was a broadcaster, but you weren't thinking, I've got the genes to be a broadcaster, so I'm going to wait until I can be a broadcaster, and then I'm going to be a broadcaster. But like, who's a broadcaster? You are in this field.
I'm a podcaster.
I know, which is also a broadcaster.
Okay.
There's a reason that they sound alike.
Okay.
It's one of those situations. You know, but you were open enough to be seeing what's going on out here
yeah.
and syncing up your interests to the current technology. And now, just dropping this, you're getting reviews in the Telegraph, you know, in England. It's like giving you a review of your show and saying that it's wonderful. You! Isn't that crazy? That's fucking crazy, isn't it?
It is kind of
We don't take good reviews well. But
yeah. I enjoy them.
Yeah. You're having, like, people are dropping by from out of the country to visit us. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a magical thing that this has occurred, you know, and it all happened because I think you were open to something that you weren't open to before. You could just have, like, put blocks on your life and just gone, well, I'm 40, done, locked off. If it ain't going to happen now, it ain't going to happen. And a lot of people, I think, do that.
Yeah.
But you were open enough.
We're told that, though. That's one of those things out there that... You know, doing when you're 30 is what you'll do the rest of your life.
Well, you're told in high school, if you don't pick what you're going to do, you know, now and plan your life, then, you know, but of course, who was planning to be a podcaster when you were a teen? Of course you weren't, you know, but, you know, you were
old. I was told there was no money in it.
Right. So you're in your mid-40s and you start this thing off and now we're doing this and you folks are listening to us. So there, you know, there's example A of, you know, that, and you got to keep that in mind. Are you talented at this? Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Did you have a talent for this when you were young? Who the hell knows? But, you know, we're doing our best and we're seeing where this goes. And I think that's what he was telling her. If you want to try it, then try it and don't be limited by, you know, that.
I'll agree with you. Talent is a lie.
Wow. There we go. So America does not have talent.
America does not.
Because it's a lie.
Well, the idea that... The idea that there's a select elite group of people who are magically given gifts that we are not is a lie.
Well, let's just say that most reality shows are a lie, except for Storage Locker Fuckers.
And
that is clearly.
Yeah.
And again, I want to see more of your smoky, or what is it, smoked ham? The pig that tries to do drugs and can't.
That's right. Can't because the parents are watching.
Either way.
I don't know what we were thinking of. Boy, oh boy.
Well, because you were a rebel. Like, okay.
I guess so.
I'm just going to... Now, this is a terrible thing to bring up, but I'm going to bring it up really fast, and I'm going to get out with it.
Okay.
Justin Bieber just got into trouble a little bit because
He's a rebel.
Because there was a video of him at 15 using the N-word in a comedy bit.
Okay.
And I remember us at 16 trying to use the N-word in a comedy bit in our high school show that we were going to do on stage.
Were we going to use the N-word?
Yes, sir, we were.
Oh.
In fact, to the point where we're going to use it in our TV version... Of that sketch.
Wow.
Yes. So anyway, I'm just looking back on that and going like, thank God there wasn't no video of our, and our teacher, who was of color, said to us, no, you're not going to be doing that. And I remember you going, come on, let's just do it anyway. And
I don't remember that at all. I remember getting in trouble for wanting to use the word bastard, but I didn't want to use the word bastard. I said the B word.
Okay. You used the bastard joke because you couldn't use the
other
joke.
No. I didn't. It was, what it was, it wasn't the end. It was, there was a book called The Bastard by John
Jakes. No, I understand this, but you're not remembering that you came up with that as a response to
No, it was the M word. It was motherfucker.
No.
No, it was not
the
word you're
thinking. We'll talk about this off mic.
No, it's not the word you're thinking
of. No, I will tell you this, and it was. We'll talk about this off microphone.
I'll have to look. I still have the script at home. So
okay, that's fine. Fair enough. Anyway, that's a weird thing to end on, hey folks. But I'm just saying. Speaking, I
have one more thing I just want to end on because we haven't had a chance. And I
anyway, we're young and dumb. Speaking of like talented,
we were dumb. I really don't remember that way.
It was very lucky we didn't have a podcast back then.
I really don't remember that way.
I will tell it to you after the show.
Okay. Maybe people maybe that's why everyone misheard what I was trying to do, and that's why I was confused by it.
No, you were not confused. This was actually the thing. I'll tell you exactly how it was.
Okay.
Okay, please continue with your other point, though.
Because I can never understand why people were offended by it.
I will tell you exactly after the show.
Okay. I'm curious. So, there's a radio commercial on right now, and it's for Fido. It's a phone company here in Canada.
Right, I believe I'm with them.
And, where are you? And in the commercial, there's a guy talking to a girl, and he's like, hey, Fifi, do you mind if I take your picture?
Oh, they're dogs.
Why did you say that?
Because they're dogs.
It doesn't tell you that in the commercial.
Okay, but they are dogs.
I know, but it's so weird because I'm sorry. It's like, hey,
am
Fifi.
Am I ruining?
So it's like, can I take your picture?
Oh, sorry.
Then he takes her picture, and then she's like, gee, why is my, you know, am I in a relationship with you on this thing? And then he's like, oh, I'm sorry, my paws must have slipped. And I'm thinking, is he a dog?
Sorry.
Why would that be?
He is a dog.
But why? It's a radio commercial. They don't introduce them as dogs. He doesn't say, I am a dog with a phone. This is a guy talking, I think, as Fifi the Clue, then? If anyone's called Fifi, they're a dog? Is that what that means?
Well, is she a French lady from...
She does not speak with a French accent.
Oh, that's not
He doesn't
right.
say, hey, Fifi. She goes, what? Oui, monsieur? What's, you know... He's
You're
just
at
like,
the Moulin Rouge, Fifi.
Hey, monsieur. She's like, why am I on this social networking mysterious thing with my in a relationship with you? Oh, my paws must have slipped. I'm like, where's
the
setup?
Well, the joke doesn't work regardless.
Where's the setup? But there's no setup. There's no
how
mention
you,
of them being
a dog.
How do
you set up that they're dogs, though?
I don't know. Then don't do the commercial because it's dumb. It's dumb.
They assume that the dog commercials are all over TV, billboards everywhere. Everyone knows that Fido are dogs.
Is there a commercial with the dogs in it?
Yeah, constantly running. Constantly running. By the way, if you look at any billboard, you will see those dogs on there.
I have never seen it.
Yes.
I've never seen it.
Fifi, I believe, is a French poodle.
I'm sure Fifi is a French poodle. I wish she had a French accent. It would have helped me a little bit more. The problem is that when you
listen, it's
do
no
that,
smoked ham. I'll tell you when, that much.
That's right. I like that you gave it a name.
Well, if it's a pig that's smoking a joint,
sure.
Smoked ham.
Smoked ham. It's smoking pot, by the way, not a joint. That would have been a joint of meat in its mouth. But anyway.
There you go. See, there's more bits. Bacon bits.
If only I'd been there.
Yeah, that's what you call them. You call them the bacon bits, these little jokes.
This doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you do something that, one, the audience has to be in on it, that they're dogs.
Right.
I know you're smiling because I'm supposed to know.
I'm smiling just because, yeah. The general, most
it's
people
dumb.
Would know.
It's dumb.
No, it's very dumb.
It's dumb. And then you're listening to the commercial, and then at the end of the commercial, there's this lame joke that's not funny, but also gives you the clue that it's a dog. And you're like, what?
Okay.
That's no payoff.
It's just like, you know, it's like, hey, I'd like to rent this car. Oh, you really get good value here at Hertz. Yeah, except for my prehensile tail.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you don't really set up that why you've got a prehensile tail.
Yeah, or your prehensile tail tore our upholstery. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, and then you're listening, you're like, why? Why does it have
so how would this sketch, tail? Like, would they start off like, hey, you know, we're on that social networking thing. By the way, we're both dogs.
how about you call it Dog Book?
Okay, here's my other problem.
Can I take your picture and post it on Dog Book, Fifi?
Well, no, because they are on Facebook.
Then I would be like, you know.
Yeah. Here, okay.
Fido Book.
I don't even know how. Okay, there's problems in that. How do dogs use
talk,
the computer?
How do they take pictures?
How do they use a mouse?
They can't even, like, text because
they can't use a keyboard.
They don't have a thumb to text with.
They do not. Yeah, they don't have a thumb.
They have to do it in that lame way that people that I know do it, which is put their glasses on their forehead and then look down on it and push individually each key.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, it's fun to watch.
Okay. So anyway, those of you that live in Canada, no Fido. Did you know there were dogs? Dave didn't.
Nope.
Okay. Well, by saying that, now you've got your title card. Fair enough.
I did not know.
Yeah.
I had never seen the ads.
So you didn't understand the bitches be texting?
No, I didn't.
Okay, that's good. All right. Well, now you understand.
I don't see much in the way of ads in my where I live. There's no billboards where I live, right? I live in a rural area.
Yeah, you don't really watch TV?
No.
Do you skip over commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Next time, don't. Okay. Next time, do you do the thing where you hit the button and it skips 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Or do you do the scan?
Skip 30 seconds.
Next time, scan. When a dog comes on, check it out.
Sure.
It's on all the time.
I will do that.
All right.
I'll get on that.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to our ramblings. Once again, we did our Completely Beatles show, and we've been on the air right now. We're done the
5 hours.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis telethon length. We've raised a lot of money
sweaty.
For the kids. Yeah.
My hair's all hanging down, all greasy kind of.
That's
down.
Right. Dave's going to sing "You Never Walk Alone" very shortly.
Yeah.
We love to hear from you. SneakyDragon.com
is
our website.
The song is "Do You Never Take Your Dog for a Walk Alone."
That's right. You never said that they were dogs.
I never said it. That's the problem with that song.
That's what I liked when you were telling me the story about the pig. Was you identified him as a pig?
Exactly,
first
right
off.
Away.
Just tell me all his bits.
Yeah,
first
the bacon bits.
Bacon bits. SneakyDragon.com. That's where our message boards are. If you want to complain about this episode, as I'm sure you do, that's the place to put your complaints. We're also on Facebook. We
place to put your complaints.
I normally wouldn't say give us a review on iTunes after a show like this, but if you want to, it's up to you. It helps people to find us, and we appreciate it. We might be doing some live shows soon. And if you're in the Vancouver area, a show that I write for is The Irrelevant Show, and they're going to be live at the CBC Music Arts Festival in Burnaby next week. So I'm not sure exactly when that is, but if you're in town, go see them because they're great. And listen to The Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio, or, you know, it's also available in podcast form.
My ears are sore.
Okay, you've had that on too long. Is there anything you want to say before we leave?
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody. And you know what? Follow your dreams, talent or not. And we like you all. We do. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's sweaty.
Swamp, oh, swamp man. Ear.